Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach Arskadin coming to you live on this beautiful Friday before, as we enter into Passover. Today is about entering into the new, and I want to focus on that this week as we are in this modern day Passover of being in this place where we're sheltered by the Lord while chaos is around us in this dark season. And this goes along with the book, what Chuck says in here, the modern day Passovers or the Passover prophecies. And a lot of things there, but we want to continue on our journey in reordering our day and our study of the night watch right now. And the chapter and verse for today is actually Ezra 3, but I want to focus on, talk a little bit about that and then go into Ezra 9 verses 5. And in Ezra 3, it's about restoring the altar and the sacrifices within the Old Testament, and then restoring the temple. And you think about what that would mean for us here today is restoring the foundations of what our nation is built upon, and more so protecting what they are, which is what's going on in our modern day American culture, in politics and other areas, and even in the, more so specifically, even in the church. And so when we get into to verse chapter 9, we go down to verse 5, and it talks about the prayer of confession. And this is kind of something we've been highlighting, the need for confession, repentance, turning from our wicked ways, getting back to the heart of the Father, and sinning no more, as Jesus would say after he would heal people. And so verse 5 says, he says, "But at the evening offering," this is Ezra, "I arose from my humiliation, even with my garment and my robe torn, and I fell on my knees and stretched out my hands to the Lord my God." And he goes on to say, "Oh my God, I am ashamed and embarrassed to lift up my face to you, my God, for our iniquities have risen above our heads and our guilt has grown even to the heavens." And going on to be repenting for the sins of the fathers before them and the people who are now in them, of the kings and priests who were given over in plunder and shame, and not walking in obedience with the Lord. And today is as we sit here and we've entered into this Passover season, we want to know that as we sit here and we repent for the sins and the iniquities of the land and our nation and ourselves, all sin and fall short of the glory of God, to be humble in that aspect as we restore and protect the foundations of this nation, to ask the Lord God to show you your small window of opportunity for reviving the foundations in your life and reordering your day, and that when we awaken tomorrow, to declare that you will enter in to the promises that the Lord has for you in this coming season. If you saw, we released again the clip from John West from this past Sunday of these bridges to victory. If God is coming to us individually to allow us to have a deeper relationship with Him, and what Chuck teaches in this reordering your day is this is a way to do this, of getting in that timeline of the Lord, knowing those times and seasons, even in the particulars of each and every day. And so as we enter in this night watch of laying down our sins of the past, of repenting for them, letting them down, getting in that right alignment with the Lord in that day as we go into our rest, and then waking up with a profound sense of understanding of walking out our day and decreeing into what the Lord would have us walk into each and every day. So we start with that. I'm going to build upon that as we go through the news today. And there's actually breaking news that just came out this morning out of Jerusalem, where there have been tensions on the Temple Mount, more so if you know the Gold Dome, or the Western Wall, Wailing Wall, where both Christians and Jews come to pray, and then on top, where the Gold Dome is, the Al-Aqsa Mosque is where the Muslims come to pray. And because Ramadan and Passover, Easter is all coming together at the same time, there's a lot of tensions that happen on the Temple Mount. You know, they call it Jerusalem's holy site. And there have reports of at least 150 injured in a clash between Israeli police and Palestinian people. This is not unbeknownst to Jerusalem on this day, with especially being at Passover. And look, sometimes the Israeli forces can be a bit forceful, mainly because they have to and they understand. Look, there's civilians there. There's innocent people there that they're going to be a little bit overboard to protect the people. And this causes conflicts. This doesn't bode well for the relations there. As you can see here in this picture of forces up on top of the Temple Mount, where the mosque is, the Gold Dome, that is most popular in pictures of Jerusalem. So something to be mindful of and watch there as we continue to talk about our administration and pray for our administration. So I want to shift to now the situation in Ukraine a little bit. There have been some interesting updates to be mindful of and some things we need to be considerate of when we pray for our administration. So Russian forces have now started to strike Kiev with missile attacks, which is part of it. And the Ukrainians and really all intelligence understood this, that as they pulled back, they would start bombing. Yesterday, they said they hit missile plants in Kiev, in and around Kiev and Mariupol. And then now, I think this is very interesting. You're seeing NATO warships and arrive in the Baltic Sea up north near Finland, Norway, and Estonia. And they are docking in a little town called Tallinn, Estonia. They say this is normal, but we'll see what happens from that. As we've entered 50 days of war with Ukraine and Russia, you're seeing more, and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, of United States and NATO forces sending more equipment, humanitarian aid. Canada is actually sending soldiers to Poland to help with Ukrainian refugees as Kiev has continued to be bombed by rockets. There's a report from the Wall Street Journal talking about this is going to start becoming more and more of a thing. Is okay, they can't get in there to get the people who are there, the forces who are there. And this is really important for Russia to do this because from a military standpoint, this is, you know, the strategic high point of the Ukrainian army. This is where everything's being centered on. So this will be very contentious. And there are still civilians there. So lives are at stake here with all that. But what's interesting with these weapon stashes that we're giving to Ukraine are, you know, helicopters, other types of weapon, you know, military guns, weapons, body armor, stocks of inventory, things that would have supposed to go to Afghanistan that didn't, you know, thankfully they're now going to Ukraine. So we're seeing all this. They're giving them Horowitz field artillery units and weapons to go with this. But it's not what's interesting is not the fact that we're giving it to them. What's interesting is the response from Russia. And this is what we want to pray about for our administration, is because Russia has now sent a formal letter to the U.S. warning that shipments of sensitive weapons from the U.S. and NATO were exacerbating tensions in Ukraine and could lead to unprecedented consequences. Basically saying, if you keep doing this, we're going to respond back. And this is not the first time that this has happened. Putin has been blaming NATO for its involvement in the peace talks, saying that you're the ones to cause the peace talks to die. That's not necessarily true. That's just what he's saying. So we want to pray for this administration in these moments with, again, Russia, Ukraine, and even what's going on to Israel, because there's things happening with the Iran nuclear deal talks and negotiations that, again, Russia is involved with. Cannot forget that. And as we enter into this Passover season, we want to intercede for the Biden administration. It's not just Biden himself. It's those who are under him who need to have the fear of the Lord and listen to the Holy Spirit when dealing with Russia, Ukraine, and Israel. And also pray for Anthony Blinken's voice to be heard in this season. We have prophetic that his voice is going to try to be squashed. And right now, his voice is really, especially at the top cabinet level, one of the only voices of reason right now coming out of this Biden administration, as he has had boots on the ground in all these different countries, traveling around the world, understanding the tensions. As we pointed out yesterday, he understands that the Iranian Revolutionary Guard needs to stay on the terrorist watch list and not be removed. And that is something that the Biden administration is considering doing, which would be harmful, not only to Israel, but the U.S. and the rest of the world, as you are now starting to see continued increase of attacks right now in Israel, and who knows where else it could go. There's conflicts between Saudi Arabia and Iranian-backed forces. What's going on there? Like, how did all this come about? Partly because some of the decisions this administration has had of not enforcing sanctions that Trump put on to prevent the Iranian Revolutionary Guard to be able to get funding. But this is where we want to pray for them. And look, I'll get to it here briefly, is this is why we need to pray for leaders who now and in the future have the fear and wisdom of the Lord and understand the times and seasons that we're entering into, because we have to lay down our emotions ourselves as we pray for this administration, but they do as well, because they may have an idea about how something really works because it's an American Western mindset. But we have to stop thinking and our leaders have to stop thinking with a Western mindset, and we have to start understanding how they operate. There are some within the intelligence community and some within this administration do, but their voices aren't being heard. That's why we want to pray for Blinken's voice to be heard, because he somewhat understands that to a degree, and he's somewhat of a voice of reason in that as we go closer and closer into this new season. And I want to point this next story out. I want to shift to this. We haven't prayed about it for a while, because there haven't been really big stories about this. But yesterday, President Biden was at the University of Greensboro for the North Carolina Agricultural and Tech, part of its University of Greensboro's campus, and talking about making a 40-minute speech. And after that, he turns to shake somebody's hand, and there's a graphic going around where nobody's there, and he's just wandering off stage, rambling, and it just shows signs of dementia. And with the comedy sketch coming out of Saudi Arabia, showing that they're making fun of the sitting president of the United States, whether we like him or don't like him, it is right now we understand that there are critical moments. That he is involved in negotiations, he's involved in high-stakes situations, and the stress is showing that it's getting to him, and we're seeing that on a daily basis. And so we want to pray for him to be protected and have this blanket of protection around him during his moments of dementia, so that his staff doesn't take advantage of him and get things passed that would erode at the foundations, biblical foundations of what this nation was founded upon. So something to be mindful of this weekend and going into the weeks ahead is especially months ahead, as we see potentially tensions rising in the days and coming weeks. And now I want to get to the point of praying for the reason why we need to pray for leaders who understand the times and seasons. So there's an interesting article out of a magazine website called Spectator. And the author outlines some key things that the Biden administration, Fed Chair Jerome Powell, and Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen completely ignored in February 2021 around inflation. And what we need to realize is that for some reason, those who could have made decisions acted like they knew what they were doing and acted like they had to control the situation, but they didn't. And partly allow the situation to get under control. And this article, and any economist would tell you, when you have a shortage of supply and you print money and you allow demand to stay at its level and honestly increase, because that's what happened over COVID, is when the Fed printed this money, it gave everyday Americans money in their pockets. But what the flip side of that was, and the downside of not understanding the times and seasons, was that, well, there's not enough supply to meet that demand. And so we're seeing now that this is partly why inflation is where it's at, why prices are so high. It's because people wanted to spend at the regular rate while, number one, not working. Number two, there's not enough supply to meet that demand. And so that's why prices rose. Plus, you have a supply shortage coming from China because we depend too much on international trade and we don't build things here. That's part of one of the things Trump wanted to deal with. And so I want to say this because the Fed chair, Janet Yellen, said, you know, this is okay, this is fine, we want to keep the economy rolling, but it was short-sighted, and this is what a lot of these decisions do. They think about what's best for the short term and not what's for the long term. Because the whole underlying principle that the Fed and government involvement into monetary and fiscal policy is evolved around is to keep the economy flowing and moving forward without taking dives as people make mistakes and take on too much risk. Because we're here to protect that. We're here to make sure, you know, even if when those things happen, to make sure the economy flows. Well, the underlying problem is that if you do that, you would let people assume too much risk. You let them over leverage themselves more than what they could have. And the only way this is able to thrive is in a prospering society. And if you've ever heard Abraham Hamilton talk, he does the Hamilton Corner on YouTube and AFR radio and AFR radio YouTube stations. And he always talks about this. When he talks about the advent and the push of grace and the hyper grace movement here in America, is you don't see that same message being pushed around the world at large and it being accepted, because people who are in, let's say, China, the Middle East, where persecution is at large, and oh, God's just going to protect you, everything's going to be all hunky dory roses, shooting rainbows and cotton candy clouds, and nothing can go wrong. And this is the same type of economic policies you're seeing. Oh, nothing can go wrong, we can protect ourselves. Well, eventually you can't. And for those around the world, in China, in the Middle East, and in countries where preaching the gospel is forbidden and or frowned upon and literally could cost them their lives, is you're building up a false theology, and in this case, a false economy that will not stand in the long run. Because Jesus doesn't say, I'm going to protect you from every little thing. No, he said, you're going to be persecuted. If they persecuted me, this is what they did. What are they going to do to you? And so I say that and I lay that out, is we need leaders who are going to understand the times and seasons, not just think long term, but I mean, not just think short term, but think long term as well. Because now we've entered into a scenario where it's not just Americans who are struggling to get by because there's no other option for them. It's now businesses, Restaurants, gyms, assisted living facilities, and other businesses devastated by the pandemic are mounting a final push for federal relief and upwards of now $55 billion to restaurants and other hard-hit industries as they push for quote-unquote pandemic relief. Now, there's two ways to look at this. One is rather than these businesses looking at getting relief from the government, they need to be pushing back against the government and saying, you should have never shut me down. That's the beginning of it. Second is if they're depending upon this, then now the government has is going to start having the authority to tell them how they should and shouldn't run their business, who they should and shouldn't allow into. And if you want to look at the cases of the photographers, wedding businesses, cake makers, businesses about, you know, whether they have the authority and legality to make their own decisions of who to accept as their customer or not and what reasons they deny them their services. If you're doing this, then now you're opening the door for the government to tell you what to do. And so what we're seeing now, and this goes to what Chris Reed's dream was of those who are asking for handouts. This is an example of it not just being people who are desperate to survive, because these could have been bad businesses that were failing. And because there's no events, because there's nothing going on, because the government shut down, that this call might have caused them to fail. And especially a lot of these gyms, restaurants, music events, venues, assisted living facilities, they need a constant turnover. They're small margins, so they need money flowing in and out of there all the time to be able to pay their bills, pay their staff, and survive. And when the government comes and shuts you down, that's a problem. And so we need to look at understanding that we need leaders who understand this, not just the president, Congress, state official, I mean, everybody involved. And more importantly, if the businesses themselves would understand this, then they would push back against this tyrannical overreach. And so we have to look at the decisions being made and why we need to push back against this, because it's allowing for future control from the government to tell them what to do. And they are showing right now that they cannot control it via the Fed. And in any case, and if you go back and remember the 2007, 2008, 2009 housing market crash, is the Fed chair, Ben Bernanke, thought they did the right thing by bailing out the banks. And yet here we are back again in that same cycle because of quantitative easing, printing money, the name changes, whatever, to when something gets a bad connotation, they just change the name and move on. But these businesses need to realize that this is, you're putting a knife to your throat. You're allowing the government to put a knife to your throat in this. So we want to pray now, intercede for current and future leaders to arise who have the fear of the Lord, understand the times and seasons that we are in, and use wisdom and revelation from the Lord to clearly define the policies they are running on and advocating for. And this is ever important as we head towards the midterms. And this is more important for Americans to understand, to have this revival of understanding that we are in a place and season, and we are in a time in the world where our voice matters. And we need to use the voice that the Lord has allowed us to have in this season to be able to pray for the welfare of this nation and advocate for the welfare of this nation moving forward. And another kind of similar scenario of when you allow people to influence you is and how they can have control over your policies and how your businesses and or run, which is why it's very alarming for other businesses to come asking for acceptance from government funding, is in this case with Elon Musk and Twitter. In the fact that there was the Saudi prince who is a major stakeholder within Twitter who denied Musk's offer to buy Twitter. Now, Elon Musk is now no longer considered the highest or I'm going to say largest shareholder after a Vanguard Group asset management company bought up more stakes within the social media company, which could be controlled by the Saudi crown prince. And what's interesting in this is that Elon Musk's response to tweets from the Saudi crown prince, he said, interesting, just two questions I may have. How much of Twitter does the kingdom own directly and indirectly? Because this Vanguard group could be controlled by Saudi crown prince because he could just be a middleman. But then the second question is more important. What are the kingdom's views on journalistic freedoms, journalistic freedom of speech? And that's the thing right there, is because if you look at how Saudi Arabia looks at journalism in this case, and you look at Twitter's response to it, it kind of line up of not a lot wanting free speech to go forward and et cetera. And it brings to a broader point of when you open up yourself for these businesses, even individuals who say take stimulus money, who do this. And, you know, we can sit here and talk about end time. Revelation on what's going to happen in the end time. And Rick Joyner talks about this is, you know, we look at, there's a lot of things happening with chips and marks and all this stuff is Rick Joyner points out, and I kind of agree with it. Actually, I really agree with it, is the mark of the beast isn't just a chip or just a mark or just the number 666 written on your forehead, on your forehand or wherever. It's the idea of giving in to things and leaders who want to do certain things and not being able to have the freedom and be obedient to the Lord. Is that's the true mark of the beast. Is it's more of a mindset of who do you fear? Do you fear man or do you fear God? And I think this is a scenario of when you accept this government money, you're now saying government is my God. Government is my provider. Not trusting in the Lord to be your provider. Not trusting him to be the one that you have the ultimate fear of. And so it's a warning as we enter into this new season of as governments try these new things, who are we going to have fear of? Are we going to fear governments, fear scientists, fear our bosses, fear this, that, and the other? Or are we going to fear the Lord to provide for us and walk us through and protect us in this season as we go into the promised land? And there's that opportunity. And I want to end on this, these victories that are coming out as states establish their stance on life. And Kentucky did an amazing thing where they overrode the governor's veto of a pro-life measure that bans abortions after 15 weeks, with the House voting 76-21 and the Senate voting 31-6 to put in place a ban after 15 weeks, for life, and including saving the life of the mother in case of medical emergency. And not only did this happen in Kentucky recently, but this happened in Florida as well, where yesterday Governor DeSantis signed legislation banning late-term abortions after 15 weeks. And the 15-week mark comes from the Mississippi case that is before SCOTUS. And as we're getting closer to that, states believe that SCOTUS will rule to basically lower that standard to 15 weeks, which could possibly lead to the overturning of Roe v. Wade, which would be huge. It would be reestablishing and protecting those foundations that this nation was built upon for life and liberty, and something as Americans and biblical believers we've been praying for and standing for quite some time. So these are amazing victories as we enter into Good Friday, Passover, Easter. As you spend some time with friends and family this week, understand that we're still in this season of being in the wilderness, of resting with the Lord, going out when the Lord tells us what battles to go out to. And as we're going through this study of reordering our day, of getting into that timeline with the Lord, again, starting before we go to bed and after we wake up, and being refreshed through the night watches, so that as we enter the new day, we can stand firmly and walk out what the Lord has called us to walk out. And for us here, it's to pray for the office of the president, despite how we agree or disagree with some of the policy decisions that they're making. We want to pray that they make the proper decisions, even if they don't. And then pray for leaders for the future, that those would see these decisions that are being made now, so that in the future we can have leaders who stand up for life and righteousness and biblical principles with what this nation was founded upon and what the Lord has called this nation to do, which is to be a nation that spreads the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. So blessings. We will have a noon prayer, actually a great episode with Todd Trahan on the topic of governmental intercession. You're not going to want to miss that. So we'll have that today at noon. And then tonight we have our Passover service, We'll go online at 7:30 and do a teaching on Passover celebration and what it represents and how to enter into this next season. So blessings, and I will see you guys on Monday. Have a good one.